might pass years of fruitless meditation. But first, I'm listening for the opening night that you last ceremony. Nagi Mahashoggi made 7 different individual Christ consciousness. He gave them Christ consciousness by his great power as a yogi. He had 7 disciples. All of them attained cosmic mind, and we are ready at the last step of the liberation. One meditated for 40 years, 18 hours a day. 18 hours a day for 40 years. So you can imagine where it is. There comes the depression. Then he had no disciple. A little disciple called Brinda Bhagat, who was a little postman in Benares, who was married and had children. And many of the disciples, Gale Mashia, were asking him for more clear techniques. We have clear number 1, clear number 2, clear number 3, clear number 4. They were asking for more techniques. So Gale Mashia Brinda, do you want more initiation, second clear initiation? And he said, Master, no, don't give me any more technique. I'm so full of bliss, I can't even distribute my letters. I have a family to support. And Gale Mashia smiled with great delight and said, Brinda is floating in the ocean spirit. With Kriya number 1, he attained Christ consciousness. Yeah. So, in one side, we see this power of will and determination, and we see the one who went by the grace of God. The attitude, everything depends upon your makeup. What kind of a person are you? Brinda Bhagat, I have no doubt, was totally unconditional. He meditated only to please God and never worry about his result. Because Narada Sutra, the great saint of India, said, if after you have surrendered yourself to God, you still worry about your future, your surrender has absolutely no meaning. So you have the choice to decide which one you're going to be. So tonight I will speak of the great science of yoga, as you have first to obey the law. There is no discussion about it, that first none of us have that spontaneous law with Brinda Bhagat head, or we have Swami Pranabhananda. Pranabhananda, as you read the topograph of the yogi, meditated 8 years, 8 hours a day, every single day for 8 years. And yet, he could not find the ultimate. Why? Because there was some flaw between his relationship and his guru. And finally, Lama Mahashoggi said, at 4 o'clock in the morning, stop bothering me, I have interceded for you, you will see Brahma today. So there are many factors, but first you have to make the effort of understanding. So you have to understand this, that if I inspire you only with talk, I'm doing absolutely nothing to you. I'm not any value. If you come here by the 200 and inspire you with my talk, but you do not come to meditation, I've given you nothing. So from now on, I've made the vow. Every single Friday, every Sunday, I'm going to be in that meditation. I won't leave it because we have different monks, but this Friday and this Sunday we'll have meditation. And this year, next year, until I have this place full, I shall not give up. I'm going to say I'm half dead. Come into the meditation on Friday and Sunday. I challenge you if you can respond to that. Because it's just talk. If I entertain you intellectually, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to be shipped off somewhere else, and you will have another monk who is going to teach you how to be less intellectual and more devotional. So be careful that you make the effort if you want to keep hearing good classes. I'm not showing myself flowers, but I work hard for you, believe me. Well, you know, when God cannot teach you anything, he makes you a teacher. You want to be sure that this lifetime I was going to learn something. So we are going to start with the God you are going to meditate. You want to meditate on God, but you do not truly know what kind of God you are looking for. Yogananda is about the only one who has ever described the dual God, which the Roman called the Janus God, the God of two faces, the God connected with doors and gates, which is perfect explanation. First, we have the aspect of God in creation as cosmic intelligence. And he created the world without form. That is, in his infinite intelligence, he created the entire universe with his intelligence. He permeated every atom of creation with his intelligence. But that intelligence which is in your brain, right now into your mind, pertains to your soul, not to your ego. And therefore, you have great difficulty to attain. We are living in ignorance. And you want me to prove it to you? How many of you know your name? Raise your hand. Your name. Okay. And that name is?
Satchitananda.
Ever blissfully conscious of your eternal existence, that's you. And therefore, when you begin to develop that kind of material, you know where you come from, you know who you are, you know where you are going, you know that God which you are looking for, then you are in cosmic intelligence. But you cannot be in that cosmic intelligence until you work 100% with the key which opened that intelligence, your conscience. Your conscience is God cosmic intelligence vibrating through you. So each time you interfere with your conscience, you are back into ego consciousness, into ignorance, into duality. So it is very serious. We have cosmic intelligence and we have cosmic ignorance. Like in Kali Yuga, it's a universal scale. And the way, as I call this world, the world of barbarian in 1984, we are still in cosmic ignorance. Then you have cosmic light, because God, since he needs some brick to build his universe, he built the entire universe as light. And you have, in the same time, you have cosmic darkness. That light is here, at the point between the eyebrows. If thine eye be single, thy body shall be full of light. When you meditate, you see any light? Most of us see nothing but darkness, complete darkness, Kali Yuga state. You want to meditate, and you get so bored with it, you quit, because you see nothing. So we have cosmic light ever present at your point between the eyebrows. When Sridhar Yamata was a very young girl and met Paramahansa Yogananda, he asked her, Faye, do you see that light? She said, yes, Master, all the time. Doesn't everybody else do it? She was the only one who could see it. And when Vivekananda, as a young boy, came to see Ramakrishna as Narendra, he said, Narendra, do you see that light? She said, yes, Master. Good, he said. It shows that you have spent many incarnations in lonely meditation. So at the point between the eyebrow is the divine light, which we have been, Jesus said, if thine eye offend thee, proclaim, for it is better for thee to enter into heaven with one eye than to be cast into hell with two eyes. So we're all going to enter into heaven like that. There are two currents at the point between the eyebrow. Here, positive, negative. Place those two curls at the point between the eyebrows, it becomes one. Therefore, you have, if thine eye be single, thy body shall be full of that cosmic light, which is Christ consciousness. Now, what is interesting is that cosmic intelligence, when you expand your consciousness into the soul, you have Christ consciousness. That intelligence will put you, will stretch your mind to the edge of finitude. But that is not the ego consciousness. Then you have, as God stir the galaxy, the solar system, he create the universes, it make a sound, the great sound of Om. So you have, in that sound, you have two power, mainly two power, attraction and repulsion. You have beautiful music like Mozart, and you have heavy metal. So you can imagine where it leads you. One leads you toward upliftment, and one leads you down the drain. And the whole universe is made of that positive and negative approach in everything. Then you have cosmic wisdom. Now, cosmic wisdom was teaching unity. All religions were created to unite all beings under one God. Instead of that, we have cosmic ignorance. In 1984, the Christians are killing the Muslims killing the Jews, everybody's killing each other. So even today, we have cosmic, we have great knowledge, but we have absolutely no wisdom. We do not know that anybody you hurt, be it the other side of the earth, affect your own body. It's like hitting your feet with a hammer, and you say, well, but I'm in the brain, I'm not down there. Sure, if you hit your feet, you are going to have tremendous pain. Therefore, everything happening in this globe today affects your daily life in thought, word, feeling, and action. among the Bindibu, in the Tierra del Fuego, or Nome, Alaska, or whatever it is, you are affected by it. So you have cosmic wisdom, cosmic ignorance. And the most responsible is religion. They are the ones who fail to bring that unity in wisdom. Then you have cosmic love. And then you have cosmic hatred. That repressive force which keeps every nation separated from each other and every different custom, different language, different of everything. So we have total confusion. When I came here in America in 1954, that was go, 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 gaga. I couldn't understand a single word of what people were talking to me. At 28 years old, I was back to 2 years old learning to speak. You have no idea how humiliating it is when I will talk to you and you don't understand nothing. And most of the world is like that. You go in Switzerland, you drive 100 miles, you go to Bern, you to speak German. You go 150 miles, you go to Lugano, you to speak Italian. Now, they are getting smarter. They will speak English in Switzerland. Most of them. You have cosmic joy, and then you have cosmic sorrow. 4 billion people suffer of separation at death. The concept of death creates universal sorrow, not knowing that we are immortal. The concept of death springs from the greatest ignorance who we are. In the future, the concept of death won't even exist. They will know, like my father, my mother, went into different dimensions, hopefully a better place. Then you have cosmic peace. And what do you have? Cosmic unrest. And what I call not perpetual motion, but perpetual commotions. You have people like that. The moment they arrive, so they enter a room, it becomes perpetual commotion. Then you have cosmic beauty. Then you have cosmic ugliness of behavior toward one another, torturing, murdering, and killing. That, my dear, comes from Isaiah chapter 45, verse 6. Remember the Bible. In your Bible, Isaiah 45, verse 6. I, the Lord, created the light. I created darkness. I made peace, and I created evil. I, thy Lord, do all these things. That's your God. Then the yogi, a smart fellow, bypass all this and go into bliss. That Arjuna be anchored in that which is changeless. That is the bliss of the soul. All those aspects of God here are explained with the ego and mind. Even when you have Christ consciousness, you still have an ego. Only when you are in a state of bliss, total bliss, unchanging bliss, you have attained your true nature, and it is undifferentiated. You do not experience any more duality, and yet, in bliss, you have beauty, peace, joy, love, wisdom, sound, light, and intelligence without opposite. Is it clear? You do not look for any other. You say, well, I want to learn to love God. First, feel bliss. And when you will be stoned out of your skull with bliss, you will automatically be able to love He who is invisible. Once you are full of bliss, my dear, everything becomes beautiful. That's why millions of people are trying to recapture that bliss through drugs. They don't take morphine or cocaine or marijuana because of just the smoke. They want to feel that deep peace and bliss within themselves, and in the process, they destroy themselves. Now, that bliss can only be attained through meditation. And that's why Patanjali has designed the Eightfold Path of Patanjali, or was the greatest exponent of yoga. He devised a system. And you find today all kind of teachers who come out from India and want to bypass. Oh, it's all teaching is not necessary. There is no way you can bypass the system. I will tell you why. The first aspect, as you see, is called Yama Niyama. Or Dharma or an Adharma. That is the law, the harmony, the moral rules of life. As the Master say here, they are those who would suggest that by the practice of meditation or other spiritual technique, one may circumvent the moral struggle and simply pass over one's lower nature into a higher state. This cannot be so, because all spiritual techniques require the effort of conscious will or the exertion of mind power. Our minds, so long as they are tossed about at the mercy of strong body attachment and slavery to baser passion, cannot
I repeat, cannot concentrate deeply enough to pass beyond ordinary awareness and into the natural joy of the soul. That is, not until you have got control of your subconscious mind, not until you have so purified your subconscious mind, so reinforced that subconscious mind that it ceaselessly impregnate your daily mind with positive thoughts. All your negative ideas springs forth from your subconscious mind. The moment your negative state said to yourself, the subconscious mind is not trying to control me with negative ideas. If you can control those negative ideas, you are on the way to control the subconscious mind. Therefore, yama niyama consists of removing all negative attributes in life. Everything which is destructive. And the master doesn't make it simple, he said. Anything which stands between your soul and God is evil. So particularly the entire creation is awful. All the emotional and mental disturbance must be eliminated. Not until you have attained ajana. Ajana has been translated wrongly just as a physical posture. No. It has two aspects. The first aspect of ajana means that you have now attained a state of absolute immovability in your meditation. Why should you remain absolutely still in meditation? I will tell you why. So that gradually the conscious mind transfers to the subconscious mind the role of taking care of that body so that you can gradually get out of your human body. As long as you move even once like that, you scratch yourself, you have broken that magnetic field, which the subconscious mind will take care of. Therefore, to be able to achieve depth in meditation requires complete forgetfulness of the body, and that can only be attained by absolute immovability. I just saw a few days ago in Japan, Zen training. I don't know if you saw that in Channel 28. Here is one of the monks walking with a stick about that thick. And you walk like a samurai in between. And the moment somebody is down like that, they go, pow! He hit them two in both sides, then he bowed to them. I'm telling you, there are not very many people sleeping anymore in meditation. Boy, that guy was walking there, I don't know. That's the first aspect. And Dhyanamatta said to us, if you cannot keep still in meditation, then you have not even jumped the first hurdle in your spiritual development. Now, as I will discuss later on, the meditation itself, it has, you have to really know how to meditate, what kind of chair, and so on. I will discuss that after. Now, he said, the keeping of the physical body in an immovable position for long periods of time requires great effort of the will. The reason is that the mind has to be freed from the consciousness of the body. By doing so, the conscious mind transfers the control of the body to the subconscious mind. The conscious mind then can withdraw from the physical body without affecting the fixed condition of the body in any manner. This is a gradual process, but a definite effort has to be made to break this connection between the mind and the body, so that the body remains in the proper position without any attention of the conscious mind. That's quite logic, isn't it? That's why you may wonder, why is it that I cannot go deep in meditation? As long as you are conscious of your body, when I used to go in a breathless state, I would take my pulse immediately, and I would listen how many times my heart was beating, and I knew it was not breathing. So I went to Sri Dayamata, and he said, oh, very good. Who was checking that breath? You are in complete ego consciousness. When you meditate, you are not supposed to be aware of anything. You have lost awareness of your body, and you enter into that light. I was in total ego consciousness. My heart was beating about 10 beats a minute. Now that's getting awfully interesting, you know. Now, the second one, I mean, ajana for the body means equilibrium and stability. Second one, ajana for the mind. And Patanjali say, from that, no assault from the pair of opposites. As you begin to have an inner physical equilibrium, it begins to affect your mind too. The more balanced you are with your body, the more your body, you can see the way you walk, you know, That's why a Kriyaban or a Hongso practitioner should always walk his consciousness in the spine. You are walking, your spine is always straight. The master said to sit down or walk with a bent spine is spiritual suicide. You must always be straight, keep that spine straight. So the body, your body is under control. Now, the mind means resistance to the pair of opposites. For instance, heat and cold are the pair of opposites which affect primarily the physical body. Joy and sorrow are pair which affect the mind. Now, all these conditions related to the body and the mind, which are constantly changing, keep the consciousness drawn to the external environment and hinder the mind to go within and produce distraction. And this type must make great efforts to rise above them if his mind is to be free to pursue the more difficult task of suppressing its own internal disturbance and modification. In other words, one has to develop insensibility, that is, whatever is done to you, no reaction. You have to learn to become very sensitive about others, but you become very mentally tough. Nobody can hurt you anymore. They spit on your face, they take you as an idiot, and God gave me so many beautiful experiences like that. You wouldn't believe the things we go. The 3 months we go into a car, we have our shirts, and a guy go with his car like that, and he was greeting, making all face of face, looking at us like, I feel like swimming a banana. He got me mad, you know, but I reacted. You have to become such a mental poise that no matter what people say to you, you don't know what affect it, and you do not retaliate. When you stop retaliating, you stop resenting, you stop fighting back. Dayama said to me, you always fight back, Toyanda. Well, I said, what do you expect me to? You grab me by the neck and say nothing? I said, see, you want to fight with me now? Well, I said, I'm Swiss, I told her. So that mental toughness, that lack of sensibility for your own feelings, but great sensibility for others, that will give you ajanas. And then, you will be able to gradually dim your emotions. We have to become less and less negatively emotional in life. Positively emotional, yes, but not negatively. And then you attain finally that pranayama. And my dear, the pranayama is the basic, which may take you 20, 30 years, 40 years to attain. Pranayama here is not the control of the breath. Pranayama consists, you have two currents. You have one, each time you inhale, an electrical current goes up called prana, crystallizing force, or we call it spiritual life. Each time you exhale, the eliminating currents, purify the blood, is going downward like that. Each time, it's called prana and apana. So pranayama consists of gradually, so the technique of Hongso, because the Hongso technique is done outside the spine, not into the shushumna, of gradually slowing down those currents. As you slow down the breath, you slow down those currents, gradually your five senses begin to dim. Gradually, the energy withdraw. And it's called prana, energy, yama, restraint. But first, you have to develop rhythmic breath. The moment you practice Hongso, and I've demonstrated that, in 1 second, your breath changes. Inhaling, exhaling. So you do that Hongso technique immediately. It begins. The breath is that long, the breath becomes like that, shorter, until it disappears. And then the energy goes right into the spine, and it's when you begin to go into pranayama, not before. As your consciousness begins to move, it takes off the smell, the taste, the sight, the touch, and sound. As you begin to move into the spine, everything becomes disconnected automatically. And that is the very basic of meditation, which consists of just the stopping of the heart and the stopping of breathing. Not very hard, is it? But what St. Paul say, I rejoice in Christ consciousness, I die daily. St. Paul had that great technique of meditation. So this having been accomplished, Patanjali said, pranayama, which is the cessation of inspiration and expiration, pranayama is not an exercise of breathing, it's the elimination of breath. Therefore, deep breath has nothing, deep breathing has nothing to do with this technique of pranayama. Pranayama means regulation of the currents, which then the purpose of attaining the breathless state. And the master said, without properly regulating the breath and solving its mystery by doing away from it, one cannot reach self-realization. To watch the breath is the primary factor in controlling it, because then the consciousness separates itself from the involuntary bodily function of breath and gradually realizes itself distinct from it. Man's consciousness is then recognized as the only thing which is real. Now, what is interesting that you don't use the technique, you inhale and you exhale. And then you begin to slow down. The whole thing begins to slow down. And then you stop right. It stops by itself. So you have inhalation, exhalation. Inhalation, exhalation. Then come periods, there is no breath. And then it becomes longer as the year goes by, longer and longer periods of breath, where you are not breathing and you feel totally comfortable. Automatically your body begins to relax and you begin to leave fear. As long as you have fear in a breathless state, you can never succeed. You have to learn to live with less and less food, breathing less and less, sleeping less and less, all as the various disciplines of yoga. So pranayama consists of gradually dimming the sense, restraint, and rhythmic breath and getting rid of the breath. Then come after that pratyahara. Pratyahara means that which obstructs the light is removed. At that moment, a light appears in front of you, and then you are no more conscious of the sympathetic nervous system, and you are inside the spine. You are no more conscious of your body. You are dead. The conscious mind has taken over at the door at the base of the spine, the muladhara here. The conscious mind is there, and is responsible for your consciousness to go back into the human form. And it is not astral travel. Those people write books, they don't know what to talk about. That's not astral travel. It's going into the inner spine. And I must say, that means switching off only by pratyahara. When the mind goes within, it is possible to concentrate completely upon God. So if you have problem with your concentration, cheer up. There is nothing you can do until you have attained pratyahara. When you have then all the energy withdrawn to the spine, and you see that great light, then automatically the next step is dharana, concentration. Then you can go upon God. And the master say, why is it only by pratyahara? Because prana and apana circulate outside the dimension of sushumna, moving in Inda and Pingala, and will not allow the consciousness to disconnect itself. That is, as long as you inhale and exhale, you are connected with the nervous sympathetic system. Only when you are in the spine, you have disconnected yourself. To control the breath is to control the mind. As long as you breathe, you think. The moment you don't breathe, you are in an intuitive state of the soul. But how do you do it? When the heart rests, the breath becomes unnecessary. There lie our biggest problem, our heart, right there. There is the most important part of our being, and the one we mistreat the most, the center of all our emotion, where our immunity glands are. So we are sick all the time because we are unable to control our emotion and therefore constantly affect our immunity glands. Therefore, the mother say here, when the heart rests, rest becomes unnecessary. How many cups of coffee you drink a day? I drink two myself. Espresso. You have to be careful what you do with your stimulant, because it's not possible to meditate. At least if you drink coffee, drink 5 or 6 hours before your meditation. So when the heart rests, breath becomes necessary. The life of energy is then withdrawn from the heart and sensory nerve, and thus disconnect the left one of the 5 senses, which ordinarily keep the ego perpetually disturbed, and the attention scattered by incessant message from the outside world and connected with the subconscious mind. You see, meditation is not thoughts. It's like If you want to know what the lake is, you jump into the lake, you swim into the lake, you absorb into the lake. That is, you absorb yourself into the object of meditation. And meditation means absorption in God. So come dharana, or concentration. When a devotee interiorizes thoughts in pratyahara, they find their mind feel an ineffable sense of peace, which is the first glimpse of heaven, which comes to those who can interiorize their mind. Devotees who can banish all sensation and disturbing thought from their mind at will and concentrate with the cave of resultant peacefulness definitely find the kingdom of God consciousness, which manifests itself gradually, that means in many years, to the devotees as ever new bliss. None can enter this heaven of cosmic consciousness unless he can penetrate within himself the gates of concentration and meditation. Now, I have entered many times, to the grace of God, that great vacuum. In the holy science, it is called as vacuum. Here you find yourself like inside a huge room. There is no thoughts. What Jesus said, my peace I leave unto you. You have such ineffable peace that yogis stay like that for hundreds of years in caves. And the master said, 2,000 years yogis have been in that state, lost into that peace of God, because they, with their soul, they worked out their karma that way. So beautiful it is, that state. Then, dharana, concentration, one-pointed concentration, because there is no more thoughts, your concentration on the spiritual eye. Long concentration on the liberating spiritual eyes has enabled the yogi to destroy all illusion concerning matters. So it is of extreme importance that in your meditation, you keep locked up at the point between the eyebrows. Otherwise, you just sit. You are not meditating at all. Concentrating, if you see the light, and you are much blessed if you see that light, by the practice of concentration upon the inner light, you begin to realize that the body is made of nothing but whirling motions of light. That is the great breakthrough, because then the thought of mortality is broken. So when you come out, even when you come out of your meditation, you never forget that experience. So dharana, you prove to yourself that you are an immortal being. Now it is true that you will never know that you are an immortal until you are sitting and you find yourself you are not breathing. When you are in meditation, you are not breathing, then you know that you are immortal, you cannot die. Is that any one of you has ever woke up in the middle of the night and you can't breathe? Does it happen to you sometimes? You go so deep into a superconscious dream, you become... And you can't breathe? Never happened to you? My God, you really have to meditate. Huh? It happened to me quite often. I go so deep in some dreams, I come out, and I was so gone from the body, I can't breathe. It sounds funny, but very scary sometimes. And then finally come connection on the Guru and the grace of God. By longer, deeper, thirsty, continuous, Guru-given meditation comes this celestial samadhi. You can do the technique in the world. God has these appointed saints who had meditated for incarnations because of their lack of devotion toward the messenger of God, which is their Guru. Then from that come conversation, come dhyana, the absorption into that light, or the om sound, the vastness of God, so intuition. And finally comes samadhi. Expansion. Samadhi consists of six different expansions of the mind. Your consciousness has to re-educate itself of its own greatness. So first, the screen of your mind is that big. First samadhi, sampragata samadhi, the samadhi hidden with God. If you would get that samadhi right now and look at me, I would look like an ant to you. So vast is your consciousness, and you remain in that state. Second samadhi, your consciousness is already wider. Each time. Until your consciousness as a human being has expanded physical, astral, and causal, and you are one with the universe. You are in Christ consciousness. Your mind has stretched, but you have to go one, two, all the doors do open themselves, all the light do light themselves, and darkness like a dark bird flies away. So these samadhis will be experienced only when you have gradually learn to live in deep state of restlessness. The foundation of yoga is based upon fearlessness. As long as you have fear, that means you are attached to your body. As long as you have any fear in meditation that something will happen to you, you are attached to this. So now is the difference between Hongshu. The Hongshu technique, for instance, there are some teachers who teach it backward. Now, Paramahansa Yogananda explained to you why Hongshu must not be taught so hard. He said as follows. The Hongshu mantra is also sometimes given as So Hong or So Ham in some transliteration. Our great guru explained the subtle difference between Hongshu, So Hong, and Hongshu. In a neutral state, the emphasis is on Hong, I am, or the ego, from which consciousness, so he or God is perceived. That means that within you, constantly is vibrating each inhalation, each exhalation, a specific vibration which you are not aware. You may become a communist for a lifetime, you may deny God for a lifetime, but you will go back to God, you cannot escape it. Because vibrating within you constantly is, I am he, as with the meaning is in the song of the soul. No birth, no death, no castaway. I am he, blessed spirit, I am he. Mind nor intellect nor ego feeling, sky nor earth nor metal am I. I am he, blessed spirit, I am he. No prana or its vital current five, nor flesh or senses that enthrall, nor ether, fire or ritual am I. I am he, soul of wisdom I am he. Bondage I do not fear, for freedom I do not care. For I am free, ever free, I am free, ever free. I am he, blessed spirit, I am he. So through the technique of Hongshu, gradually, as you begin to slow down these currents, you begin to realize that you are an immortal. Therefore, something else happened. He explained, said, first there is you and God in samadhi. When breath is still and delusion disappears, the mantra transposes itself into the superconscious chanting of So Hong. Here I am. The emphasis is shifted from ego to spirit. The state in which the consciousness becomes he I am is impossible to attain unless the breath is still and the soul free from the bondage of the body and realize itself as one with spirit. Therefore, the correct mantra for practice of the technique is Hongshu. The state of So Hong, referred to Paramahansaji, occurs automatically when I enter an exalted state of samadhi. So you have all kinds of teachers who come from India and teach the teaching backward. So you have to use your discrimination. Everyone must use the sort of discrimination. Who am I following? Does he really know what he's talking about? That's why when you follow a master, you cannot fail. And my dear, to be able to attain those states of expansion requires, the master say, great moral preparation. Yama-niyama, how long do you have to practice Yama-niyama? Until you have cosmic consciousness. Because even when you have cosmic mind, Maya can still seduce you. Great saints have fell from tremendous state of consciousness because Maya. And each time an avatar go back into earth, like Jesus Christ or Buddha, they are tested by Maya. Jesus for 40 days I was tested by the full power of Maya. And when I ask you, I say, was Jesus tested of everything, sex, everything? He said, what do you think he was tested by, lollipops? We don't have, mind you, every one of us at the end has to face Maya, the great cosmic challenger, every one of us. So you better build your armor solidly because the law, as Bodhisattva Ananda Moy said in his talk on Kriya Yoga, the law plus devotion, you can feel. Now, the difference between Hongshu is that you are outside the spine, but even with that technique, if you go to a Trappist monastery, you enter into a cell where a monk for 12 hours pray, you with 1 hour of Hongshu will attain the depths he has attained in 12 hours. Now, 1 hour of Kriya is the equivalent of 12 hours of Hongshu. Why? Because Kriya goes immediately into the spine. The yogis explain that through the natural evolution of mankind, the unenlightened mass will be enlightened through thousands and thousands of incarnations automatically. as the Earth rotates around the Sun in 365 days, around the 12th sign of the zodiac, a similar occurrence takes place in your body. The Sun is your spiritual eye. The 12th sign of the zodiac is your sixth chakra. Six up, six down by polarity, that makes 12. It will require 1 million circumvolution of the current up and down the spine until every cell of your body has the proper frequency to receive the final charge of cosmic consciousness to come to you as a cosmic flash of light. You remember when Yogananda, even born Avatar, when he went to Ram Gopal and said, Master, can I receive Samadhi? He said, no, my son, your body is not tuned yet. If I would give you the cosmic experience now, every cell of your body would be burned. Now, that great master had to transform the entire genetic code of that body and rebirth it into divinity before he could regain his cosmic consciousness. So imagine a million circumvolution, how many incarnations that would take without disease, so you don't dissipate. Every year we have the current as the Earth for the dancer. We get it, but we dissipate it through sex, through overeating, oversleeping, accident, disease. So we'll be here forever. So the yogi is divine technique, duplicating the cosmic motion of nature in exactly 31 seconds of motion to the spine up and down, and you have 1 year evolution each time you do one kriya. Like the time machine of A.G. Wells, if you can do 1 million kriya in one lifetime, you can attain cosmic consciousness in one lifetime. Now, my dear, you begin with 14 kriya in the morning and 14 at night, and later on you can do 108 a day, but before the coexistence of a loose emotional life and the great sense of yoga will never work. That I call the yo-yo syndrome, 3 steps forward and 5 backward. Once you begin with those techniques, it won't work unless you begin to adjust your whole life. Therefore, self-realization means to apply to every level, in thoughts, in word, in feeling, in action. So the master said, think no evil, feel no evil, fear no evil, talk no evil, spread no evil, behold nothing but goodness and purity. So it's a gradual process. But you become more and more positive. It's simple. Here's your feeling, the heart center. All negative emotion bring you downward. The power of repulsion. This is negative magnetic. Negative pole, neutral pole, positive pole. Here you have your free will. You say, I have free will. Your feeling determines how much free will you have. Because if you go downward, you go into the hellish region. The master called the lower part of the spine hell region. And mind you, people have said to me, oh, I went to a yogi and he has awakened my kundalini. So I say, you don't have any more sexual thoughts? Well, dead silence. Because when the kundalini woke up, you know, you are hearing some straight talk tonight. See, this, when the kundalini move up here, there is no more function down there. So let's finish all over with you. Therefore, don't worry about that. But to attain a higher state of consciousness, brahmacharya is required. That the magnetic field, which constantly draws downward. That's why in meditation, I will have to give you another class for the technique of meditation. It's too late now. I need another 45 minutes. Next time, I will talk to you of the whole meditation principle, 26 different points to observe. You may think, oh, just sit down and meditate. You're going to succeed. I was an archer with a 65-pound bare bow compound. Before I released the arrow, I could make any of one of 36 different mistakes. And only when I had a champion with me, a champion who began to put my position, I began to shoot tremendously well. But he was controlling every emotion I was doing. That's your guru. And your guru is the one who controls that shooting of your attention toward meditation. You ignore the guru to get it. By longer, deeper, thirsty, continuous, guru-given meditation, calm that celestial samadhi. So my next class will be meditation, the principle of meditation, and after that will be the guru. My dear, it's a science. Everybody said to me, I can control my mind. Of course not, you can control your mind. Are you going to control 50 to 60,000 electromagnetic impulses entering into your medulla oblongata and putting energy into your 30,000 billion cells? Are you going to do it? By connecting yourself with your medulla oblongata, and the medulla oblongata will take care of that without you being present. You'll be in deep meditation. But unless you come on Friday night and Sunday night again. Well, unless you are steady, you can make it. It's impossible. That's why myself, I determined to make a greater effort. And I hope I can inspire you to do the same. Since I inspire you with talk, now is the time for the meditation. I'll always be 2 hours, 7 days, 9 days, 9 days.